This is Boat Crew RPG with The Learning Curve.
Welcome, everyone, to what I think is the 16th session of Masks. My math might be a little wonky, but because it's been a while since we last did this, because scheduling is a bitch. And all kinds of other nastiness under the sun, but that's beside the point. So, where we last left off, you guys had just been told by Dartboard, Tenebrae has gone missing, and he is right now your primary suspect for the theft of the, not really named, components to keep to the reality anchor, the thing that keeps the whole city safe from things like the giant monsters that's flying around outside city walls. So right now, it was last night, so you went on this, and so now it's the morning after. And there's been a tension in the city so far, and today when you wake up, you think you hear other people like whispering about it in like the orphanage you live at. Like, it's spread that far now that just regular people are talking about it now. So, I'm curious, what's going through you guys' heads as you wake up and you have to, you know, the whole thing is just, you know, what's going through your heads, essentially? Let's catch up. Let's start with Tony on this.
I think there is, 10,000 thoughts going through Tony's head all at once, so it's a little bit overloaded. Because on the one hand, there is the normal teenager stuff with dates and both of their friends now going out on dates and them being like, is that something that I should be into? Nah, not for me. But is it though? Nah. Is it though?
Yeah, and you have to make sure your outfit for the upcoming dance is nice and tidy and cleaned.
Yeah, the sports uniform looks great. I think we even got new shirt.
Yes.
And also just the crime stuff in the back that is going on. So yeah. It's a lot for a tiny cat brain.
All right. Now Alicia.
Alicia's been, well, very busy feeling. We've had so much running around trying to find the reality anchor materials. There's been the dates. There's been getting the dress, tailoring the dress so it's going to fit her far better than anything off the shelf would, because we've established how much seamstress skills she's got going on. There's been the work at the hospital, and there's been keeping up with hyperscience at school. On top of all the emotional revelations, Alicia's feeling not quite tapped out, but anxious for something to get resolved so she can have a little more breathing space in life. Oh, we know that you don't want any of us have any breathing space, but narratively, it's sooner or later going to happen.
He doesn't want any of us breathing, period.
Oh, no. Did someone just flash TPK in chat? Was that you? Was that you? No. Alicia, however, has been enjoying some of, you know, this. Despite the fact that it is stuff that has mild levels of stress and can take up some time, it at the same time, you know, she actually does not mind sewing. It is one of her, you know, things that she can do and relax and think at the same time. She hasn't had a bad time on her dates. She's, you know, trying to just be supportive instead of letting herself get too wrapped up in everyone else's stress. How's that going? Teenager, you know, but... Right. And now she's often a tiny oblivious to what the rumor mill is. But if the rumor mill is this loud over breakfast before school, basically, she's a little curious because, you know, she's been trying very hard not to blend either of her works with her daily life.
All right. Now, Jennifer, last but not least.
Jennifer has so much on her mind. She, of course, has her date with Char that got ruined by members of the truth. She's mostly concerned right now with her father knowing her location, her father knowing who she's been spending time with, and her father's involvement in this piece of technology that was stolen, because it only serves to make her look more guilty if parties like the Night Guard were to put that information together, which of course she divulged everything she knew right away, but she understands that deep down it only makes her look a little more suspicious. On a surface level, she's nervous about this dance. There's a little bit of jealousy going on, like on the back of her mind, that everyone gets to dance and have a good time, and people even have dates, whereas she's outside handing flyers for Rebecca's dad. She wishes that she could have Char be her date. You know, she's fantasizing about having this wonderful princess kind of montage of them dancing in the center of the you know, the auditorium. But not only could she never invite Char, because then Char would know that she's younger than she said she was, but you know, she's worried about seeing her, because that just puts a target on her head, especially if her dad's watching. So there's a lot of conflicting feelings.
Plus, then the whole awkward thing about explaining to all your friends about, oh yeah, by the way, I'm dating gang leader. It's, you know, no big deal.
Well, I mean, she wouldn't show up in her uniform. She'd show up in her, you know, everyday clothing, which means I would get to see her, you know. I don't know, but explaining to somebody why I'm coming on a date to dance with like a 30-year-old woman is hard enough as it is. So she's just feeling very conflicted, mostly scared. She's very scared of her father and what he could do to her and Char.
All right. So you guys all start heading to school, and you guys, I'll just say that, you know, you're like, you know, what do you, you know, for a fact that, well, your dad told you, Jennifer, that the kid, that Tenebrae was someone who goes to your school, but you have no idea who they are. So do you guys have any plans about that? Are you going to like actively join the search, or are you just going to sit back and let other people, and like, what is your guys' game plan, the whole Tenebrae situation? You can talk amongst yourselves about this.
Well, I imagine you'd want to look, but where to start is kind of difficult.
Alicia's kind of almost skipping along, because she is honestly getting enthusiastic about the dance too, on top of all the other things. And she's saying, well, as she starts walking backwards a little bit, we got more friends now. Things have been are a lot better with the scouts. Let's just pass on the intel, and they might notice something too. Who knows? We can all just keep our eyes open without trying to give ourselves away too much. She pops in one of her antacids and starts sucking on it a little bit. Besides, I'm feeling really, really good about having finished tailoring the dress last night. It looks awesome.
Jen nods and says, like, yeah, you know, I heard you on the machine really late last night. I bet you're gonna look great in it. And she smiles, you know, she's being supportive, but deep in the back of her mind, she is jealous as all hell.
You know, if you ever get any dates out of costume, and I don't know how many dates you're supposed to go on before you're out of costume, I can try and help you look pretty good for those too. Just give me advance warning, okay?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be seeing Char again anytime soon. And she kind of looks down.
It went badly? Alicia stops walking backwards, starts walking beside Jennifer, puts an arm around her shoulder.
No.
Tea, spill it.
Well, it was going well, and then members of the truth kind of crashed that date, and we had to basically run for our lives for a bit. And that wasn't the bad part, you know, that we could overcome that, right? But you know, the whole thing with my dad and him knowing where I am and him watching me closely and knowing who I'm spending time with, that's got me pretty shaken up. I mean, he knows about Char. He could kill her, you know? You really, like, my dad's got such a reach. If I don't do what he wants, he could use her as collateral. So I don't want to give him a reason to think that she's important to me by seeing her often or anything, because then there's a target on her head.
Then do what I did. Put a bigger target on him, and he'll be a bit too busy dealing with problems. You heard my story. I handed over everything I could when I got out, because I knew that I was going to be a lot safer having handed it off and having my parents have a lot of problems to deal with. The more you hand off to the city, the more the A-listers are going to be breathing down his neck, and perhaps it'll keep him busy enough not to bother you.
I could be wishful thinking.
I could be wishful thinking. You know,
I mean, but I did what I could. I told the night guard that, you know, he was the one that hired this guy. That what he does with that information is up to them. But
well, you handed that list off to Prospero. Maybe you should hand off the same list to the night guard, or even a bigger one.
I don't know. He already doesn't trust me. He's gonna think, and then she realizes that she never told Alicia that the night guard doesn't trust her, and she just like shakes her head. She's like, "Never mind. It's just I'm doing what I can. I don't want to go too aggressively because my dad is a lot closer to me, like literally closer to me than your parents were to you and or your brother. And if I get too ballsy, he's not too far away, and he definitely has all his minions watching me. So one wrong move too aggressively, and he'll bring the hammer down, if you know what I mean."
That I get. I mean, you've mentioned how many times he's stopped by to try and talk to you one way or the other at this point.
Yeah.
So I can see that could look bad. I mean, that could honestly look bad. I see why you'd feel like untrustable, but you have to have faith in yourself. You've done a lot. We've all done a lot. And we can't. We've all done a lot.
He could come after you guys. He could come after Char. He could come after my high school friends. He says he knows who I hang out with in high school. I can't, you know, if it was just me, whatever. But I got other people I got to think about.
Well, we've already kind of told our friends who are in the know at all that there's some danger from him before. Let's just say that he does try and do something stupid. Maybe one of us gets hurt a little bit, which is the danger we all signed up for. But then he's still one person with a bunch of people on payroll, and there's limits to what you're going to do for a paycheck.
She kind of like scoff laughs at that and goes, "Yeah, you'd think that, but some people do a lot of things for a little money. Desperation is his biggest manipulation tool."
Well, I'm going to aggressively optimistic at you right now. You can try to put it down, but I feel like we've accomplished so much that even though we still have big things in front of us, I'm convinced we're going to get through it.
Yeah, we'll get through it one way or another. And she kind of nods in agreement, but like deep down, she's thinking, of course you could be optimistic about it. Like your brother's behind bars, you know, you've got a great date. You're going to go to the dance. You have a great dress. Like everything's going in your favor. Why wouldn't you be optimistic, you know?
And this is the second session in a row that Alicia has had a lot of it without conditions. So there's that too.
Yeah.
Not to meta too often.
I was going to say, don't say that too loudly. He is watching.
He already threatened me beforehand. I understand. Quinn has to amp the tension up. It's his job. Our job is to deal with the tension he amps up.
True.
Okay. Enough of throwing in the relentless optimism. Alicia will just say, "All right. Well, I can see you're not 100% buying in yet, but we're going to be good."
By the way, if you do want, you can make a roll. That's a roll.
You're right. This is a comfort and support roll. And
remember, we have dice.
Yeah,
as much as I love the thing, there is dice in this game.
And Alicia has been trying to focus heavily on all of Jen's strengths here, so I'm going to use that wonderful modified one that takes my freak instead of my mundane.
All right. So what are you trying to do exactly?
I'm trying to honestly comfort her and make her feel better about this. I'm trying to give her some of that optimism Alicia's feeling.
All right.
She's got stress and optimism both.
Roll them dice.
I got an 8.
All right. So on a clear, they hear you. They mark potential, clear condition, or shift labels.
I'm clearing insecure. Thank you very much.
All right.
Alicia's work here is done.
Yeah. So she looks like she was doubtful for a bit, but then she says, "You know what? Actually, you're right. You know what? You're right. We have accomplished a lot, and you know I can get down on myself pretty hard sometimes, and especially because things haven't been exactly, you know, rolling my way, so to speak. But you're right, Alicia. You know, not that long ago, you were in my shoes, and look at how things turned out for you. So there's no reason to think they won't turn out that way for me. I think you're right. I think I'm going to go to the Night Guard and tell him what I know, what my dad told me.
So what's Good. Tony doing during all this? Just one like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yep. Yep, that's basically it. I mean, Tony is still... I also checked my conditions real quick. Still feeling guilty and still feeling insecure about things. So, yeah. Not feeling secure enough to help somebody else.
Oh, like, you know, you leave the talking stuff to Alicia because you're not good at it, so you don't mind, you're afraid, almost afraid of screwing it up. Oh.
And Alicia doesn't realize Tony.
This time.
Yes.
Yeah, and then Alicia doesn't realize that Tony's having a little bit of a rough morning still because Alicia was distracted trying to help Jennifer feel better and Tony was being quiet.
Which is a little bit uncharacteristic, but sure, we'll clear up.
All right, so you guys head off to school. You know, your classes are actually, give me a mundane roll, all of you, to see how your classes are going. See, I'm keeping up with the actual schoolwork of, you know, being a student.
I rolled a 10.
Oh, you're doing excellent. You aced everything today. There was like a surprise quiz, and you were like, you were on top of that.
I rolled a 4. Oh, sorry, you first.
I had an 8.
And I got a 4. I've probably actually forgotten some of the homework stuff without realizing it because I've been doing so many late night things.
Yes. All right. All right. So it's time for lunch and you guys meet up with the scouts. So Helen takes immediately, as soon as you sit down, Helen goes, all right. So it's not easy, but you know, we've been asked to dig into the school and see if we can find out who Tenebrae is. Tony, you've been to the office, haven't you? The principal's office? Well, not just for that one time, but like you've been there several times after that.
Yeah. Every Saturday-ish. Forgot a couple times, but it should have been.
Right. So, you think maybe if you went back in, you think you could maybe snoop around and, you know, maybe, I don't know, they have to have records at the school of all the students, right? So maybe if we have a cross-reference people who've been absent, because I know, well, look, so the heroes tried to reach out to school and get information, but the school said, no, they didn't want to share it, because even though the government, it's, you know, the safety of the students is paramount, and with the whole, you know, thing with the Earl King over the last few years, you know, they're trying to make it a point that no one can get, no one really has easy access to the student records, not even them. So it's all a big deal. It's a lot of, what's the word? Red tape. That's it. But
you know, I don't even know if there are records in his room. Isn't everything like in the computer?
Well, there would be records in the computer. They have digital records.
Yeah, maybe. I could try.
I think you want to focus on anyone who came in after the boat we saved landed, because remember that boat had some immigrants in it, like the one I'm going to the dance with. So if Tenebrae came by after the boat did and decided that that was his chance to sneak into the school, he could have basically got himself added in with everyone else as kind of a smoke shield.
I will say you do know that you met Tenebrae before the boat thing, so.
Right, but he might not have joined the school then.
True. All right.
I know he was here before. I will continue then to say, I know he was here before the boat in the city, but he might not have joined the school yet then. So I can't tell whether he, you know, started the year off with us or not, or when other people came, he came too.
Well, that would be a good place to start, to see, look for students that started after the boat versus before the boat. And let's just start with the smaller list, which would be, I'm imagining, the students that just enrolled.
All right.
Okay. It might just take a little bit, because that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, good point. You see, and Helen turned to.
I'm not the best with computer stuffs.
All right. You see, Helen turn to Susan, the other girl in the group. Susan, think you could go in there and see if that you could help out? Fine. Yeah, sure. Good.
Oh yeah. So I have an idea. I can talk to the principal and I mean, I'm very good at talking, and the principal kind of likes talking to me. He does it every Saturday for about 2 or 3 hours. She does it every Saturday for 2 or 3 hours. So I could do that, and then you can just basically walk in.
Susan like looks at you, then like her eyes roll back a bit, and then she's like, "Sorry, 70.5 repeating percent. That's not going to work."
No, it is. I can distract her.
You can, but she's good. She's used to students distracting her about stuff.
Yeah, but she's not used to me distracting her in this way.
The numbers don't lie. Sorry, 70.5% repeating.
70.5 isn't a bad percentage.
A failure?
Oh, a failure. Well, I mean, we really don't need anyone getting in trouble for an incident at this exact moment either.
Could we maybe just tell the principal? Because I don't think the principal would like it if one of her students is, you know, a terrorist.
Well, then, if you're going to talk to her directly, maybe someone should show up.
No, that won't work. 98% failure if we tell her that the student is a terrorist.
Even if one of them sitting in costume instead of in street clothes?
Correct.
Okay.
But why?
How? What? Why?
I don't know. It doesn't tell me. My parent doesn't tell me why. So if it just tells me the numbers. I don't know.
So what are the numbers if we don't do anything?
It doesn't work. You have to, like, what happens? I don't know.
I mean, it's going to fail, right? So what is fail? We're going to get caught. Oh, no.
No, failure means we don't get what we want.
What about the principal probably be in the auditorium during the big dance, and no one's going to look at someone sneaking out of that?
Hold on. Jennifer, only 18% failure for that.
Oh, we're getting closer.
Jennifer says, like, you do know I'm just going to be standing outside the whole time.
Well, maybe you're not standing outside for the whole time. Maybe you're just standing outside for the time you need to stand outside for.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm agreeing.
I could help. I'm not the sneakiest person.
No, you're not. If you went, it's 34.12 repeating. Then if Tony does it, it's 16 failure on their own with a group increase. And then you see Susan sort of trail off and start mumbling as she pulls out her phone and starts typing out numbers on it.
Jennifer's thinking she should really ask this girl for help with math.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Like, we're all sucking at math. Where has Susan been?
Don't ask me
for
help.
What even is in math? I just do calculus.
I'm just good with failure. I only know how things fail. I don't know how to solve things. Kind of a sucky power when you really get used to it.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing.
It kind of reminds me of a question I've heard before. Would you rather be able to always tell if someone's lying or always tell if someone's telling the truth?
Isn't it the same thing?
No. Yeah, if you can tell when someone's lying, you can't tell what's the truth that they're not telling you is. And if you always know when someone's telling the truth, you don't know if they're wrong about something or leaving things out.
I want to know when people are lying. I feel that's a thing that most people do, and I don't get it.
At this point, Helen says, Tony, people can lie, but there can be all kinds of reasons they lie. You know, maybe you lie about having powers. you know, because you don't want people just to, you know who, you know, to know that Tony is Cutroni, even though that's not really much of a name change. But that's beside the point.
Tony becomes a little defensive, but doesn't say anything.
Sorry, force of habit. I am sorry.
Fine. You want to make it up to me, they say with a big grin on their face. You should buy me ice cream.
What flavor?
Night Guard.
You like that stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine, but... Ugh.
Now it's 2 scoops.
Fine. Good. Fine. 2 scoops. That's great. And then she sees, looks over at the others, and they're sort of like giggling at her expense. Like, oh, shut up, all of you.
You should try mine. They came out with it. I got it yesterday.
And then you see, when you see one of the boys, Raphael, he says, wait, so you want her to eat you?
Alicia just kind of glares a little bit. I'm in the ice cream parlor now.
I know, but he just sort of laughs to himself about his joke.
Alicia closes her eyes for a second. It's like, there are moments I forget that I'm a high school person in high school. She just quietly mutters to herself.
You see, Enrique Elwood's brother. So I think we can say, you know, the lunch sort of you finish up your lunch. Now I'm curious, Tony. Like, you know that you could be told that you have a pretty, if you like, so I'm curious, are you guys waiting for the dance to do the break into the records, or are you waiting, are you going to do it beforehand, just so out of character? Well, actually, in character, what are you doing?
I think we're waiting for the dance, because that gave the lowest percentage of it going wrong.
All right, and yes, those numbers do, like, after, you know, Susan, she, like, crunches the numbers, and she's like, okay, so yeah, that is, you know, that time is the lowest chance of failure.
I would assume we wait for the dance, and also Jennifer and Tony go together, since he can sneak, but between two of them, they had a greater probability of success.
All right. So the school day progresses. It's normal enough. And then you guys get let out, and I'll say that Alicia, on your official hero phone, you get a little notification.
All right, time to look at that a little off to the side where it's not going to be watched.
You get a notification that says, from the, like, it's like, you know, very official looking, you know, prisoner Kelvin wishes to talk with you. Do you want to accept?
Is this a, like, incoming call notification?
No, it's more like a request meeting. Meaning request, that's it.
All right. I think she'll accept.
All right. So then you send it off, and, like, you know, there's a bit of a, you know, like, there's a bit of a waiting period as, like, the notification is sent off, and you're just sort of you're left on read for a moment. And then it says, meeting can be arranged at these times. Which one, you know, you get to pick which time to go and meet them. There's like several for today, several for tomorrow.
How many days until the dance?
Let's say there's like a few. I'll just say a few. I've lost. I think I had at one point I had like a hard number a while ago, but I forgot what it is. So let's just say a few for now. But
I know it was this week. Yes. I just didn't know which weekday we were in off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know either. All right, so I'll say within like 2 or 3.
She'll accept whichever time does not interfere with her actual hospital job.
All right, so I'll say, let's you decide. Do you want to do like this day or tomorrow? What do you want to do?
She'll do this day, and she'll, if everyone's not walking home together, she'll just shoot a message to them.
All right. So Alicia sent you that. What do you guys weigh in on? What's Jennifer and Tony's reaction to that? How about Tony? What? You're getting, like, you know, this meeting with Kelvin. What's going through your head?
Tony responds, I think, in text for a change. That's also why it takes a little bit, because they just cannot find the right emojis. Basically saying, are you sure that is safe? Should I come with?
Up to you. I know he wasn't exactly nice to you, but the request was through official channels, which probably means the standard secure cell, neither of us physically in contact with each other, all of that kind of nonsense.
Yeah, I don't like him.
I don't want you to do something you're going to find stressful.
Well, I have to go to school anyway.
Fine. I don't want you to do something that's unnecessary for you that you'd find stressful.
Okay.
You deserve breaks too in life.
But message me before you go in and message me right after you get up.
Well, it's in an hour, so I'm going to have to start heading over there now.
Jennifer responds back with, are you okay? How do you feel about this?
I feel a little uncomfortable, but I genuinely feel like baby bro doesn't exactly have a lot of power over me anymore. Not that he ever had much to begin with. And I'm hoping that there's some turning a new leaf for him. I doubt there's turning a new leaf right now. If he tries to push really hard on that, he's probably faking it. But in the future, he might work his way there.
Maybe he's got something to confess, ?
Maybe. I'll let you know. As long as I'm not told by the authorities that I'm supposed to keep it secret temporarily.
She responds with, either way, just make sure he doesn't get into your head. And text us back when you've left.
All right, can do.
And then she just says, good luck. And then sends you like an emoji of two cross fingers.
Alicia is not overly worried about Kelvin getting in her head. Because when we had a previous use of potential, she did take away his influence over her permanently.
Nice.
That was, I believe, the upgrade right after capturing him. So she does feel more confident about this than she would have before capturing him.
Nice. So it sounds like it's just you heading over there.
And that's fine with her.
All right.
Like I said, he doesn't have any power over her anymore.
You have no power over me, witch. All
right. I was thinking Labyrinth a bit too, but yeah.
All right. So you head in there and let me describe the... No, I don't know what to call it. Jail, prison, the containment center there. That's the right nouns. So you head on over there. It's, I'll say it's more in the center of the city. No, actually, no, it's not in the center. It's more towards the coast of the city, but it's, like, you can see the water from the street. And you're approaching, it's a dull gray building, you know, very square looking, very plain. But, you know, with your super, you know, with your science knowledge, you notice like there's all kinds of like little touches and you almost think nozzles here and there around the place. So like you can't really see too much, but you definitely get the impression that there's a lot of stuff hidden that, you know, can, you know, be deployed in emergencies.
I mean, Alicia's thought on that is immediately, good, that means they did their job putting this place together right. And she knows she's going to have to check in through security and stuff like that, so she didn't want to be too late getting there.
All right, so, and as you go in there, they, like, you know, name a prisoner you are visiting?
Kelvin, and she flashes the phone so that they know that she was expected and requested.
Hand it over for scan.
Do-do-do.
All right, you are approved. All right, prisoner is noted for his scientific prowess. Please remove any and all liquids, substances, or chemicals on your person.
She hands over the backpack to put in the like a locker while she's there, because we know that her backpack is a very special backpack after all.
Yes. Yes. I mean, now double check. Make sure you have no other. Even a civilian class antacids, paper thinners, whiteout, anything, any kind of chemical composition should not be allowed past this door.
She double checks for everything, find that she does still have her antacids in her pocket. She says, let me just take one before I go in. I do have highly acidic saliva.
And up when they start muttering, like, all right.
All right,
don't spit anywhere.
That's kind of why I'm neutralizing it in advance.
All right.
She takes one, puts the bottle in the backpack to go in the locker. The backpack does its little lock itself up thing.
I was that when I was a kid. Shuts the locker.
I designed it.
There's a blink, and then, of course you did. Of course they did. All right, move along to the next station.
Thank you. And she'll take a note of the guy's name and thank him by name or her by name.
It's Philip.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure badges happen with names here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Right. Well, you'd be surprised because,
Well, it might be anonymous for prison purposes, but either way, she'll say, thank you, Philip.
Yeah, the front desk, they have a name. That's the only person with a name. They move you to the next station and be like, all right, if you have any dimensional anomalies, please let us know beforehand before the scan.
None that I'm aware of.
All right, they move you through a machine that makes some very weird sounds. It sounds like a theremin, but deep. It's weird. It makes no sense. All right.
Is it supposed to make your molars chatter like that?
Yeah. That's why it's not where I wanted to go through it more than three times a day.
Thanks for the warning. I hopefully don't need to come here that often.
All right. All right. Clear. Head on through.
On to the next station.
Yeah, and so there's only two more stations, but they are thorough in trying to make sure that there's no kind of shenanigans getting past.
That is fair. Alicia genuinely is not trying to pull shenanigans here. She is still respectfully cautious of her brother, and she doesn't know whether or not her mom's in the her father's in the building as well. So.
All right, so they move you on through the thing. Then they lead you to the meeting room. It's kind of similar to like a regular modern day what do they call it? I forget what the word is, but
interrogation kind of room or one of those secure things with the plexiglass between sides.
Yeah, they like one of the phones with the plexiglass. I don't know what the word is. There's probably a word for it somewhere, but yeah.
I don't know either, but she'll sit down at her assigned desk then, ready to pick up the phone when he comes in.
Yeah. So, he comes in, and I forget, is he younger or older than you? I forget. I think he's younger.
He's younger. He's a couple years younger.
All right, so, yeah, and definitely, you look at him, and you'll notice this is kind of one of the first times you've seen him without any kind of gear or, equipment on him, and he looks, like, way smaller than you really ever noticed in the past. Like he just doesn't really look like your brother Kelvin, the scientist who like keeps on experimenting with the temperature stuff, and he just looks like a teenager.
Then again, so does she right now.
Yeah, but it's like you've never really seen him in this light before.
It definitely feels a little weird. I mean, I'm sure there were some quiet family moments, but he was much younger then.
Yeah. So then he sits down at the thing and he like looks at you for a moment. He clearly is like, he picked up the phone and he's just looking at you, but he like opens his mouth a few times to say something, then he shuts it again. He's like, you clearly tell he's struggling to find words.
Well, I'm not wearing anything that amazing, so you really aren't trying to compliment me too much to get an extra good graces today. Are they feeding you well?
They feed me enough. They really need to appraise their nutrition things, because compared to what mom and dad did, it's adequate but wholly very far from allowing the peak nutritional growth.
Well, to be fair, you also need a slightly different amino acid mix than the average person for your physiology.
I mean, they have given me adjusted my diet, my meals for that. It's give me a little additive. They add to the thing just for me. It's others tease me about it. It's stupid shit. I swear to God, I didn't. If this is, I thought I was the one who I thought you were the one at school. I didn't know they had this petty bullshit here.
Well, consider the people you're in with. a lot of them grew up with even worse situations than we had. We were just outside the wall. They were inside and had no protection.
Well, actually, no, there was one guy. He's actually kind of funny. He's got like a weird head and a half thing. It's like his head's like he's like got like three eyes and like his mouth like stretches along. It's weird as hell. He actually was grew up outside things. He's even older than Dad.
Oh wow!
Wait, what the hell am I doing? Why am I being okay?
You're acting like you're my brother, and we are not on bad terms today. I thought that's what we were doing, being on okay terms at the moment. Or at least that's where I hoped this would end up going eventually.
And at that point, he looks at you and he looks kind of sad almost. He's just, well, I finally got to talk to Dad. They keep him at a different section, way more locked down than where I am.
How is he? I haven't visited. I know that I honestly hadn't been ready to for a while, but I might be in a little bit.
Better than I thought he was going to be. He I didn't really get to talk to him face to face. We had a little video chat thing set up, but he just kept doodling on this little note of book of his. They searched it apparently, so he didn't let me see it, so I don't know what's in there. But he asked how I was doing, how you were doing, how everything had progressed, what kind of tech I was using for my suit, what kind of tech you were using. And he asked me to ask you how you were doing.
I would say that, honestly, over the last week, I've managed to be better than I've been in a long time.
That seems surprising, but like, how is this better? We had everything back home. We had a lab. We had controlled systems. We didn't have to worry. We had all of our needs met. We didn't have to worry about,
except the emotional ones.
What was wrong with home? It was, you keep,
I have friends instead of pets now.
You see him like sort of like cross his arms, just be like, oh sure, like they're that's totally like, you totally haven't had to, like, how did you like manage to, I don't know. Did you, like, trick them? Did you lie? Like,
I saved people's lives. Repeatedly.
But what do you get out of that? Like, it's, but just for, what are you good to? I don't get it. I don't get it.
I think it's that, honestly, I idolized Grandpa a lot more than you did.
But you keep Grandpa this, Grandpa that. What was so great about him? Mom and Dad barely ever talked about him, and like they told you about him way more than they ever told me anything about him. What I've heard, he's not that great, but he was an alchemist. He turned stuff into other stuff,
He helped design some of the chemicals and stuff that they use for the reality anchors. You know,
okay, that's impressive. I admit that. That's some hardcore chemistry.
I know. I'm told that, they admitted to me a little before things went south that the real reason neither of us met him was when there was a difference of opinions, he wouldn't give that secret over and they killed him trying to get it from him.
Huh. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense because there was a thing with the feral thing with Bob after that, then.
And we didn't have our own supplies of the materials to keep the small one locally running. Yeah.
All right. That makes sense.
I kind of think there's something special about people wanting to be around you because they enjoy your company rather than because they are worried about you not enjoying theirs. There's something that is good about not needing to be feared.
And that he looks confused again at that. Like, but then how do you keep them from messing with you? Like, what's stopping them? If they're not afraid of you, then they know they can. That's the whole point. Isn't it that's how you're safe? If you do that, if no one's afraid of you, how are you safe?
Because they care enough to not want you hurt.
So how is that different than a trained attack animal?
I can tell this is going to be a bit bigger than the conversation that you wanted me here for, but I am willing to keep addressing it. Because sometimes, think about this. You actually care about mom and dad. You didn't just worry about them disassembling you for parts.
Well, I mean, we are literally more than some of our parts. If you take them apart, then they just stop working.
Right. But you know, you actually wanted them happy and proud of you, right? You didn't just want to do things because you knew there were consequences for failure.
Of course. They're the engineer. They're awesome.
You could have that for people who aren't just your parents. And they could have it for you.
You could actually give me a role for that.
Is this going to count like as a comfort support role?
I'll say yes.
All right. 12.
Okay. Well, hot damn.
And she'll have been doing this on camera technically too.
Okay, so with the what are you trying to do? What are you trying to get through his head about this?
I'm basically trying to, you know, push his mundane up one and make him start realizing that there's value in people besides being tools. There's value in people in general besides being your tools.
Okay, now with the 12, I'll say that gets all the way through his core, and he's just like, you clearly see like his eyes just start like looking back and forth, and he's clearly like, he looks distressed, and it's like, oh, but, huh, but then, no.
She just kind of nods quietly.
But that makes no, but then if you, but then if I, but mom and dad,
she actually looks a little sad too at all this confusion in him.
Shut up. Okay, shut up. Okay, just shut up. All right. Dev, anything you want to say to Dad? I can pass a message along.
Let him know that my world is a little bit busy, admittedly, at the moment. But when things calm down, I think I'm actually ready to visit him.
And then he looks again more surprised at this, and then he's just okay. Why are you so? You're so weird. What is with the city? It makes everything so weird and complicated. And why couldn't we just be back home where things made sense? All right, I'm done. I'm done. We can leave now.
Was there something you wanted to talk to me about specific? Or
he just looks at you like, was it really so bad at home you had to ruin it? We were happy.
You won't believe how many of the Reggies weren't. I learned.
Fine. And then he just sort of hangs up the phone and just walks away. Just leaves you in silence.
Alicia breathes that in for a little while. Inhales, exhales. She too is ready to leave.
All right, yeah, I feel like this is definitely like a. Do you have any appropriate conditions? Do you have either marked or unmarked?
I don't have anything marked right now.
All right,
because I feel like I technically.
Yeah, I was about to say like, if you had. I feel like I want to shift the labels on this just slightly. I feel like if you can shift your mundane up one. And I'll say freak down one.
I can actually do that.
All right. Because, yeah, I think right now you just very much like, you basically, it's like, hey, brother, you know, you basically went to him and said, hey, you know, we had a very unique childhood and it was not for the best. And you got through to him so much that it's basically like, it's like the ripple, it's like bounced off him back to you. Like, oh. You had a bit of a mini breakthrough almost.
I would say so. I feel like she definitely moved herself a little too unexpectedly, because she just suddenly had a lot of pity and compassion for all of the mental gymnastics she saw him doing that she had been starting on before she left, because she, when she stopped being in only those five rules, I'm sorry, rooms, and started being able to interact more and more with everything mom and dad made. She started to be able to empathize with everything mom and dad made. And that's what triggered things. That and Tony.
All right. So I think we can take our first break right after that. And then when we come back, we'll see what happens next. Because I got plans.
Want to find out more about the story? Join our Discord channel. The link is in the description.